Hello, friends. Welcome to another program of Two Guys with Heart, with Giff Briner and Dave Colonen. These two fine Christian gentlemen will do their very best to bring encouragement to your faith. We all undergo difficulties throughout our lifetime. How do we respond, and what is the correct direction that we should take? Giff and Dave will give it their best shot to guide our lives through the work and words of Jesus. And now, here they are, Two Guys with Heart.
Good afternoon, friends. Hey, it's Giff Briner here, another program of Two Guys with Heart. Me and my good friend Dan Martin is with us today. He is taking Dave's place. Dave Colonen is usually here. Dave is on the injured list right now. He'll be with us again next week. He's recovering from a little difficulty, but he'll be back in the saddle. Dan, it sure is good to see you here, my friend.
It's good to be here, Giff.
Well, introduce yourself to our listeners. They maybe didn't hear you yesterday.
Well, I'm a board member, kind of like in charge of development, trying to raise money. And so if anybody has a business, wants to help us out, we can get your name on the radio.
That's very good. And you do a good job of that. Yeah, Dan's our financial director. He's the one that keeps us afloat. He does a tremendous job. Man has a heart of gold. And he's going to assist us today on our program. And we have a good one lined out for you. You know, we've been trying to do some programs on the family and happy marriages and some do's and don'ts and how do we get through this good old world. And particularly, our focus is always on our children. We want our children's life to be better than ours. And how do you do that? There's a lot of do's and don'ts. Of course, the current generation, sometimes we tend to go overboard. We've made it too good for them. Well, what does the Bible say? Let's take a look at that issue. Honoring your parents. Let's start off with that way. Let me give you one that's very firm right off the bat. Kind of scary, in fact, from Exodus in chapter 21. There are several verses, but I'm just going to read two of them. It says in verse 15, it says, "And he that smiteth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death." That's pretty strong words, I think. Not to be taken overly lightly, but that's what it says. Verse 17 says, "And he that has cursed his father or his mother shall surely be put to death." That one, I don't know, maybe I'm not so lighthearted about that one, because that one kind of bothers me. Did you ever see that, Dan, when you see a youngster, a teenager, or even a younger person of that nature disrespecting their parents in the public? My, that bothers me. Why? And it's not a matter of just disciplining in yourself to not doing the right thing, but they're actually showing disrespect. Mm-hmm. That's, to me, is just horrible.
It is horrible, Giff. And if we would use the instructions found in Exodus 21:17, there would be an awful lot of kids would actually be put to death.
Yes.
Because it's unfortunate. It's something that's happening in our society. It's going to be difficult because if you honor your mother and father, then things will go well with you. And the Bible has some very honorable things to say of those who do honor their mother and father. And it's something that's very, very important. Numerous times, Old Testament, New Testament means it's a very important gift.
Very good. That is exactly right. I thank you for saying that. And perhaps we can lighten that up a little bit, because those are some pretty firm words we found in Exodus. But if you look what it says in Ephesians about the children, Ephesians chapter 6, in fact, it says, "Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise." In the very next verse, verse 3 says, "That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." So if the children are being respectful and honoring their mother and father, that they're going to be able to live a long time. Just the opposite of what they shared earlier, the penalty for being cruel to your parents is death. So that's quite a contrast. The point is that all of these people, particularly the children, have got to learn to show some respect. And there's a lot of things throughout the course of the New Testament, particularly, that guide us in that direction. Obedience, out of the Colossians chapter 3, says some things about that. "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well pleasing unto the Lord." That's out of Colossians 3. How about Ephesians 6? We just read some out of Ephesians 6, but there's more there. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You see, we are going to talk about the spiritual covenants and the promises for your family and kindness. We'll talk about that. But the answers for every family problem comes probably out of Matthew chapter 6. This is one that's very familiar to all of us. That's one of my favorite lines, in fact. Verse 33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you." Boy, that's a famous verse in the Bible. That's good for all of us. That's talking about worry. If you remember what it says in verse 34, and it says something to the tune of, "Today, why worry about tomorrow? For there's enough to worry about in today." That's the next verse beyond this one. And that's the same kind of thing that we have to trust in the Lord to take care of us, and we in turn have to take care of each other.
And somebody said something like 90% of the things people worry about never come to pass.
Right.
So we follow the Bible, you know, because worry is not good for your health.
That's exactly right. It's not a healthy thing. And you have to learn to work together. You know, God made Eve from a rib out of Adam's side to walk beside him as a helper. And he gave them dominion over all the works of his hands. Men, I have something to tell you too. It's not just children. Hey, through the ages, God has used both men and women in special ways. He used women as prophetesses, even as judges over all of Israel. He used women to save the Jews from extinction. He brought forth a Savior in the world through a woman. And the first person to see the risen Lord was a woman. All of the organizations have had a head, a presiding officer. So God has appointed man to be the head of that house. Fair enough. Okay, but a wise ruler realizes he is not an authority on every subject and thus delegates responsibility to knowledgeable people who work with him or under him. And he doesn't try to run everything or make every decision on his own, but he uses their education or their experience or their common sense to accomplish the job for the good of the organization and his approval. That kind of reminds me of Andrew Carnegie. Did you ever hear the story of Andrew Carnegie, the steel magnate out of Pittsburgh from many years ago? He says in the books that he wrote, he says, "I don't know anything about making steel." "I don't know anything about it," he said, "but I hired people to work for me that do know their areas of expertise." And that's how he got his wealth.
And he was very affirming of the people that worked for him.
Yeah.
He found gifts that people had. He allowed them to use it for the benefit of the steel making. It's interesting, many times we should look at how other people have other successful people, what things they've done in order to be successful. And if you want to be successful, you have to find people that are gifted and talented and encourage them and give them enough money that you keep them so you have them around for next year.
Very good. That's exactly right. Surround yourself with all different kinds of people. And they don't all have to be just like you. Who can say which is more important, the positive or the negative in electricity? Nothing electrical works without both. You have to have the positive and the negative. Sometimes those people that have a negative attitude or outlook in life are scorned upon, and we put them down. But actually, a little of that is healthy. It makes you stop and think about the other side of the coin. It's like our political world. Those checks and balances for one part or the other is good for us. That might be the only thing you can say about him that's good, but nevertheless, there are checks and balances.
Well, it's good to be a little careful. I mean, it's like hope and fear. When you come to a street corner, you don't avoid walking across because you make it run over, but you want to be very careful that you see what's happening.
That's exactly right.
And it's the same way with spending money or whatever. You want to be aware of the negative things that could happen before you make a motion or do something.
That's exactly right. I like the way you think, Dan. Everything is important. You know, what's more important, water or air? You know, that's a fair question to ask, right? Well, a man dying in the desert would say water. Water is more important. However, a person drowning would say air. Well, the truth is, it takes both to sustain life. We have to have water and we have to have air in the proper quantities. So we have to look at all aspects and never discount anything. God has formed both sexes with strong points as well as weak ones, so that each one of us will have a need for the other, and we're dependent on each other. Husband and wives take care of husband and wives, and they take care of their children, the family unit, and they learn to live together in peace and harmony. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto her husband. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 7 says things like that. the wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power over his own body, but the wife. So we're equal that way. The man is not superior or always right, nor is he always to be a dictator making all the decisions. It's a team effort. You know, I thought about that, Dan, whenever I was studying this material and reading up on it and how it's going to present it, I thought of a little story. I might just take 2 minutes to share it with you. How I think that the husband and wife is kind of equal. I could go home tonight and say to my wife, you know, I'm hungry. I would kind of like to have some bacon, eggs, and toast in there. Boy, I sure could go for it right now. She would put her pen down, turn the TV off, or whatever it was she was doing, and she would go make me bacon, eggs, and toast. 14 or 15 minutes later, she'd call me and say, hey, it's ready. Isn't that wonderful?
Mm-hmm.
But you know something? The reverse is also true. She said to me this morning, I could like to have some bacon and eggs. I had bacon, eggs, and toast on the table for her in about 14, 15 minutes. No problem, no attitude, no headaches, no hassle, no smart mouth, no arrogance, nothing rude. I didn't put her down and she didn't put me down. It's just a rapport that we have that's equal. I would do anything for my wife and she would do anything for me. No grief, no hassle, no smart attitude, no belittling, no that I am great, you are not, no, you are my servant, and none of that kind of stuff. It's just a happy medium. We get along so well that we would do anything at the drop of the hat for the other. That, to me, is what the scriptures are trying to tell us here.
Mm-hmm.
It says that we're the same. The men and the women are equal in this. Okay, there's some responsibilities that he has, and he has to live up to those, and she has the responsibilities that she has to live up to her duties. And one person has to break the tie when there's the lead. However, for the most part, in this getting through this good old world and day-to-day lives, we're equal. Isn't that the way it should be?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, Dan?
Well, and there's time, even though the Bible says the husband's head of the home,
yeah.
A wise husband would make a decision based on what the wife wants if it's something that she's more experienced with or more of her expertise.
That's right. Using her experience, her education, her intellect, and that's what the scripture's telling us.
Absolutely, yeah.
That's great. Oh, well, if everybody understood that point of view, wouldn't we have a lot more happy marriages?
Yeah.
Well, let's take a look at what the scriptures are telling us. Marriage usually unites two individuals who consider each other's intelligence, and they're attracted to each other for that reason. Taking the vow should not change lovers into competitors, for love is like a crown. When worn by even a poor man, it makes him feel like a king unto the throne. And that's Matthew tells us that, Matthew chapter 18. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth, as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. That's after Matthew chapter 18, verse 19. So again, we're talking about the unified effort. How should one chase 1,000 and two and put 10,000 to flight, except their rocks had sold them and the Lord had shut them up? Deuteronomy chapter 32 says it that way. Kind of a clumsy way to say it, but the point is, togetherness, we can multiply and live in peace and harmony. Satan fears the strong unity and power of a loving, cooperative Christian marriage, and he fights it from all sides. So the devil is hitting us the same as he hit Job that you referenced in your earlier program. You talked a long time about how the devil is eating away at that, and it's all caused by sin. Both husband and wife should realize they are a team, each encouraging and helping the other, both maintaining team loyalty and standing united against the wiles of the devil, who is now breaking up more than one out of three Christian marriages. Isn't that horrible?
And we have to understand that, you know, Satan is trying to destroy healthy marriages, and so we should make sure we keep them strong and make sure we don't fall for the deceit and the deception that he has. Because if you have a strong marriage, Satan has his aim on you because he wants to destroy it.
That's exactly right. Thank you for sharing that. That is exactly right. Satan is chewing away, throwing sin at us constantly. Well, let's take a look at that. Let's look at sin. Sin is probably the most devastating factor of the universe. The cause of all trouble, the root of all sorrow, and the dread of every man lies in this one small word, sin. It has severed the nature of man. It has destroyed the inner harmony of man's life. It has robbed us of our nobility. It has caused us, man, to be caught up in the devil's trap. Sin is everywhere. All mental disorders, all sicknesses, all destruction, and all wars find their root in sin. It causes madness in the brain and poisons the heart. It is described in the Bible as dread and prostrating diseases that demand a radical cure. It is a tornado on the loose. It's a volcano gone wild. It's a madman broken loose from the asylum. It is a gangster under trial. It is a roaring lion seeking its prey. It is streaking lightning headed towards earth with bewildering blows. It is a guillotine cutting off the head. It is a raging torrent that sweeps everything before us. Sin. It's all because of sin. You see, we use all those fancy words to describe it, but it all boils down to sin. Every part of man's life is stained with human crime. Every breeze is morally corrupted. Every day's light is blackened. Every day's life's cup is tainted with the bitterness that evolves from sin. Every life's roadway made dangerous with pitfalls. Every life's voyage made perilous with treacherous squalls. All because of sin. It's destructive of all happiness. Darkened understanding sears conscience, withers everything it touches, causes all tears and sorrow and all pains and agony. It promises nectar and gives gall, promises silk and gives a shirt of sackcloth. Homes are ruined, families broken, children are torn between parents. All because of sin. For ages, men have desperately been seeking a way out of sin's prison, out of the guilt, out of that house of penalties. Primitive man is in the jungle. Modern man is in his works. The only answer, faith in Christ. The family unit will stay together as long as we have faith in Christ. It was true with Abraham, true with Jacob, true with Job, true with every single one of us. None of us are immune, and none of us can do it alone. That's where we go wrong. We try to do it on our own accord, and we all need the faith in Jesus Christ to come up with our answers to save the family. What's the Bible say about it? About 1 Corinthians chapter 7, there's a lot says about it. And unto the married I command, yet not I the Lord, yet not the wives depart from her husband. Verse 11 says, but, and if she departs, let her remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife. But to the rest speak, I, not the Lord, if any brother have a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. What's verse 13 say? And a woman which has a husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving husband is sacrificed by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God hath called us to peace.
You know, reading some of these verses reminds me of the story of Lee Strobel and his wife, Leslie. She became a Christian before he did. She followed these verses. Eventually, he saw the light, and actually, there's a number of stories written about he wrote a bunch of stories. They were in love. Neither of them were Christians. She became a Christian. He was a very intelligent investigator, so he wanted to prove Christianity to be false. So he investigated Christianity with all the historical documents, both biblical and secular. And when he got done researching it all, he actually became a Christian because of that. And I would encourage anybody ever gets a chance to read any of his books, like The Case for Christ, The Case for Faith, or if you ever get a chance to hear him either on the radio or live, I would encourage you to do that, because that's the one thing that, you know, she was very faithful and she was honoring to him, even though he wasn't a Christian. it's just great that she did that, because we have a great leader in Lee Strobel.
Lee Strobel, that's the name, Lee Strobel. I'm glad you remembered that, Dan, because I have to confess, I know that story, but I didn't remember the name, Lee Strobel. Well, thank you for sharing that. One of the most common questions in a marriage is there anything wrong, dear? Don't you hear that all the time? Let me share some words that somebody else wrote. I didn't write these words, but I think it's worth sharing. I suppose that understanding one another's needs is one of the biggest problems in a marriage. It reminds me of this incident. Dad is engrossed in the football game on a Sunday afternoon, and the baby is fussing and crying. Susie, the babysitter, becomes the mediator between Dad watching his football game and Mom slaving in the kitchen cleaning up after dinner. Mom, no doubt, has a load of clothes in the washer, beds to make, and at the same time she's wishing she too had a day of rest. Now that I have set the scene, I can picture this conversation going on something like this. Dad, could you quiet the baby, please? Mom, that's typical. That's just typical. Dad, Susie, what did Mom say? Susie, she said she is tickled, just tickled. In this little episode, we see confusion, lack of communication, inconsideration, anger, hurt, disappointment, sorrow, laziness, and they're all bad examples. Is it any wonder that marriages struggle so hard today? Instead of saying, could you quiet the baby, please? He should have helped her. You see, his home should have been more important than the football game. But he did not have his priorities straight. Back in the days of horse and buggy, Maul and Paul were going to town, and Maul says, Paul, look at those two horses of ours, Dolly and Molly. They work so well together. They never fuss. They share responsibilities of pulling the load. They sleep together. They play together. They work together. And they still get along so well. Why is that? And Paul looked at Maul with a gleam in his eye, and he looked at her face and he said, well, Maul, it's because they have only one tongue between them. So the horses were pulling the wagon. There's only one wagon tongue, and they were pulling them, and that's why they got along so well. You know, maybe there's some truth in that. That story lightens our hearts as we think about this good old world we listen to and we walk through. If we want to protect that family unit, we have to speak with one tongue. We have to get along. We have to communicate. And we have to be willing to sacrifice and take God's word at hand. Now look what the Bible says about that. There are danger signs, and maybe I can do them quickly because we're running out of time, but let me share some danger signs that might help our listeners if they want to find out if their marriage is on the rocks. We only have a few minutes left, so I'm going to share these quickly. Here's some signs you might want to watch for. When a member of the family builds the other up, but with the undercurrent of bitterness. When a couple uses a public situation to cut each other down. When a husband uses his wife at the blunt of some jokes. When a couple says they have no problems and they've never had a fight. When they call each other ugly names. When the husband begins to make excuses for being away from home or simply stays away without excuse. This is true of the wife also, even if she is involved in worthwhile activities. When a husband seldom helps with any of the upkeep of the home. When the husband and wife both work and he goes his way and she goes her way. When there is constant bickering or nagging or picking going on between the couples. When a couple cannot discuss differences without getting into a heated argument. When the couples decide to have separate bedrooms, or when a couple has little or no physical contact. When the in-laws are allowed to set policy and make decisions for the man and his family. When the husband pushes off his wife to the responsibilities of making the decisions, or even letting her have it her way because she wants it. See, there's lots of signs that we have to be careful of. Husband and wives can be setting things on fire without even realizing it at times. Dan, we have to say goodbye. I thank you for being here. Your insight is invaluable to us, and you obviously have a very successful family life, happy marriage, and it's because of your kind of spirit that inspires our listeners, and I appreciate you sharing with them today. For now, we have to say goodbye.
Goodbye.